there's a sweet and blessed story of the Christ who came from glory just to rescue me from sin and misery. He in loving kindness sought me when I knew him not. He bought me. Hallelujah, Jesus ransomed me. Oh, hallelujah, what a Savior who can take this poor lost sinner, lift him from the miry clay and set him free. Oh, I will ever tell the story, shouting glory, glory, glory. Hallelujah, Jesus ransomed me from the depths of sin and sadness to the height of joy and gladness. Jesus lifted me in mercy full and free. With his precious blood he bought me. When I knew him not, he sought me. And with love divine he ransomed me. Oh, hallelujah, what a Savior who can take this poor lost sinner, lift him from the miry clay and set him free. Oh, I will ever tell the story, shouting glory, glory, glory. Hallelujah, Jesus ransomed me. Oh, I will ever tell the story, shouting glory, glory, glory. Hallelujah, Jesus ransomed me.
Zeke, that was a blessing. God bless your heart. What a great truth. You know, songs like that, you don't want to pat your foot. It makes you want to fall on your knees. It doesn't thrill your flesh. It does make you rejoice in your spirit. Thank God. Thank God. What a blessing. Open your Bibles. Open your Bibles to 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. Now, I am not feeling well. I'm going to do my best to try to avoid shaking hands tonight. I will smile at you and greet you. Please understand, I don't want to share with you what I've got. And if you've got something worse, I don't want to get what you've got. So, Brother Adams came in this morning and said, Preacher, we can virtually handshake. So he stood over there and did this, and I stood over there and did that, and did all right. First Thessalonians chapter 2, stand with me out of love and respect for the Word of God. You know, not everything in the Old Testament ought to have been done away with. For instance, though God did away with the ceremonial law and the dietary law in the New Testament, He did not do away with the moral law. So there's a lot of things in the Old Testament that still we have today, such as the Ten Commandments, the law of God. You find tithing in the Old Testament. God hasn't done away with that today either. He has added to it. He said, give an offering with it. Okay? So, there's a lot of good things. When Ezra stood up on the box and began to read the Bible from the beginning of day for 6 hours, everybody stood up while the Bible was being read. And they didn't stand up because there wasn't a place to sit. They stood up out of respect because it was the Word of God. They had rediscovered the Bible. And they stood up for 6 hours while it was read. And that happened day after day. And revival broke out, not because of great preaching, but because they read the Word of God. And so, we stand out of, in accordance with that Old Testament precedent, not because it's law, but because it shows respect to the God of the Word and to the Word of God. And in this day when the Word of God is being disrespected, even by Christians and churches, we who believe it is the Word of God ought to stand up and be counted in its behalf. The Bible says in verse number 17 of 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, Paul speaking, "But we, brethren, being taken from you for a short time in presence, not in heart, endeavored the more abundantly to see your face with great desire. Wherefore we would have come to you, even I, Paul, once and again, but Satan hindered us. For what is our joy? Or what is our hope, our joy, our crown of rejoicing? Are not even ye the presence in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ at His coming? For ye are our glory and our joy." And every preacher and every pastor ought to be able to stand up and look at their congregation and say, "You are our hope, our joy, our crown of rejoicing." For truly, the people that God gives to that church for Him to minister to watch them, to see them get saved, to see them grow and learn, they're a part of your family. And what you don't know and don't understand, you can understand what it's like going through a divorce in a family. It's tragic. And when a person leaves Trinity Baptist Church, I feel that way. I feel like I've failed. I feel like I've not done all that could have been done. And the thing that breaks my heart is I know that I'll never be able to do anything else. Thank you for your faithfulness through the years. Thank you for making this church possible, humanly speaking. Thank you for encouraging your preacher and his wife over these years. But that's not what I want to speak about tonight. I want you to notice verse number 18. Paul said, "We would have come unto you, even I, Paul, once and again, but Satan hindered us." And if you live for the Lord long, if you try to walk the Christian walk long, you too are going to find Satan hindering you. Now, you may not blame Satan for it. You may be unspiritual and unknowing, blame somebody else. But I want you to know Paul is putting the blame where it belongs. He's saying Satan hindered us. And tonight, I want to speak to you on that subject, being hindered but not defeated. Satan was hindered, or Paul was hindered by Satan over and over again, but Satan never defeated him. And Paul never blamed anybody else. He always put the blame where it belonged. Satan hindered us. Heavenly Father, I need you tonight as I bring this message. Fill me with thy spirit. Give me liberty and power to preach. Now, Lord, I'm having some upper respiratory problems and struggling, and I ask for your help. And I'm sure some people will say, well, why didn't he stay home? Because it's not my job to stay home if I can be here. It's not my job to let somebody else preach if I can preach. And God, I ask you now to help me. For I know that when I am weak, you've got an opportunity to get more glory. Because I know in you and in my weakness, you make me strong. So I yield myself to you tonight, asking you to help me and empower me. And may the word of God be an encouragement and a help to our people. We know that Satan is trying to hinder us in our own personal, daily, individual walk. And if we're unspiritual, we're going to end up blaming someone that really loves us and cares about us instead of the person that's really doing the hindering, old Satan himself. Now, Father, thank you in advance for what you shall do tonight. Thank you for the wonderful special we had and the beautiful choir special and the congregational singing. How it thrills my soul to hear your name exalted and honored in song as it's been tonight. And we'll thank you for all you shall do in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. The Apostle Paul founded the church at Thessalonica, but he was only able to be there a short time. He wasn't there long enough to ground those new believers in the faith. And the reason Paul had to leave prematurely is enemies of Paul and of the gospel drove him out of Thessalonica. Paul didn't quit. He simply had to escape for his life. And from Thessalonica, he went to Berea, but soon was driven out of Berea, and he escaped to Athens. And Paul was concerned about these young Christians in Thessalonica, and he sent Timothy back to check on them and to help them. By the time Timothy returned to Paul, Paul had already moved on to Corinth. And Timothy brought word that the Christians in Thessalonica were enduring bravely great persecution. Some had even died, and others were greatly confused about why they were going through such terrible times of persecution. Paul writes to these young Christians about the soon coming of the Lord Jesus and encourages them to be faithful. And by the way, though Jesus did not come, he is our hope. He is the one we're to be faithful to. And he is coming one day. We don't know when. And this may be that generation. I don't want to be so foolish as to say he's not going to come for another 15, 20 years so I can be unfaithful. The fact that he's coming is a motivating factor and a biblical reason why we are to be faithful. He is coming again. He wanted them and he wants us to know that we could never truly understand the circumstances that we go through in this life, and we're not going to understand them all until we see Jesus, and then it's not going to matter. Some of you are all in a tither over things that are going on in your life. And I want you to know it's Satan hindering. But I want you to look beyond the hindrance. And one of these days, Jesus is coming. You say, well, I've got all these questions. Well, they won't matter when Jesus comes. What will matter is that you've been faithful. The only thing that really matters is that we are to be faithful here and now so that we might have those we've won to Christ to lay at Jesus' feet. We can get all distressed and disturbed and give up our witness and give up our soul winning and give up our class, but we're also giving up our opportunity to earn crowns to lay at Jesus' feet. Preachers all the time are saying, man, I love to preach, but I hate people. Preachers say that to me. I don't understand that. I know preachers that stay in their office until it's time to go to the platform to preach. You say, well, maybe they're preaching to thousands. Not these preachers are preaching to 15 or 20. But they don't want to be with their people. I don't understand that. Paul said, I love you. You're my crown, my hope, my joy, my crown of rejoicing. And one of these days, I'm going to get to present you to Jesus Christ. My. When we quit, when we give up, we lose that opportunity to win those crowns to lay at his feet. Now, Paul was encouraging them by saying that though Satan would try to hinder them, they were not to give up, they were not to give out, and they were not to give in. Now, I know some preachers today that haven't given up and haven't given out, but they've given in. They're still going through the motions, but what they're doing is not approved of the Bible or of God. Paul was saying, be faithful. Now be understood that Satan is forever trying to hinder God's children. He's trying to hinder the church. He's trying to hinder your Sunday school class. He's trying to hinder the preacher and the teacher and the bus worker. He's trying to hinder you from driving that bus. Be assured that anything we do that brings glory to God, Satan disapproves of. And he's going to try to hinder it. Now notice our text. Paul reminds them that he wanted to come unto them time and time again, but Satan hindered him. We find it so easy to shift blame to people. When we get hurt, or when we get discouraged, or when we're disappointed. But it's of utmost importance that we realize who it is that's trying to hinder us. I don't think you're trying to hinder me, and I'm certainly not trying to hinder you. But if we're not careful, we'll blame each other, when all the time it's Satan that's trying to hinder us. Satan trying to hinder us. And you know the amazing thing, somebody will say, well, oh, so-and-so, he's just not what he ought to be, or she's not what she ought to be. And I'm quitting. So they go somewhere else, and in a little while, they'll find somebody else that's not what they ought to be. And they'll quit again. Well, hey, we're imperfect people in an imperfect world serving a perfect God. So we need to quit looking at one another and judging one another and realize that we're trying to do a work of God for God together. And if we're hindered, it's not each other that's hindering us. It's the devil that's hindering us. It sure would be good if we'd learn to lay the blame where it belongs. If we don't, we'll get angry and bitter and blame someone who in truth really loves us and is trying to do nothing but help us. And I've seen that over and over again. I've had it happen over and over again throughout the years. Paul said that though his enemies drove him out of Thessalonica, it was really Satan that was trying to hinder him. We must always remember that when we're hurt or disappointed by people, we should not lay blame on those people. It's really Satan that's behind it. And Paul could see beyond the people that were stoning him and driving him out, and he said, it's really not them. It's the devil that's behind it. Instead, we blame people. We get angry. We drop out of our class, give up our church. And Satan has accomplished his purpose in it. I want to speak to you tonight on the subject hindered but not defeated. The word hindered means to throw up roadblocks and obstacles in our way, trying to get us to turn back or turn aside and quit. Satan may hinder the child of God, but Satan cannot defeat the child of God. Satan can't make us quit. That's our decision. That's our doing. When we make that decision, it's always a wrong decision because we're ceasing to walk in the Spirit and we're walking in the flesh. We're getting away from God and God's Word. Now notice some things Paul said that hindered him, but in spite of these hindrances, he never let it defeat him. First of all, he was hindered by financial difficulties, but he never quit, nor did he allow it to defeat him. Philippians 4, verse 15, Paul says, "No church communicated with me concerning giving and receiving, but ye only." Paul was a missionary. He was down to one supporting church. He said, "Oh, Satan used it to try to hinder me." But he just kept on going. He made tents. He paid for his own food. Provided his own living to keep on going. Down to one supporting church as a missionary. Yet he didn't quit. He didn't whine. He didn't allow it to defeat him. It won't take Satan long to find out what he can use to hinder us. It won't take him long. If it's discouragement, he'll send it our way. If it's financial problems, he'll try to drive us into bankruptcy. What's the area old Satan finds your weak in? Have you allowed Satan to find out your weak spot? Be sure of this, that's exactly where Satan will focus his attack on you. He was financially in difficulty down to one church. But he said, "It's not going to stop me. I'm not going to quit. I'm not going to give up." He was not defeated. He just kept on trusting God. Boy, when he is down to this one church, one supporting church, God spoke to him. And he wrote in his letter to them, "But my God shall supply all my needs, your needs, according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus." Hindered, but not defeated. He was hindered by violence against him, but he didn't let it defeat him. Hey, don't enter the ministry and think that everybody's going to love you. Don't enter the ministry and think that everybody's going to treat you like a king. Some people are going to hate your guts. They'd rather see you dead. They hate you so much, if you died, they wouldn't even go to your funeral. They'd spit on your grave. We're going to be hindered by people who do violent things against us, just like Paul. Paul said, "It's not going to defeat me." Turn in your Bible over to 2 Corinthians chapter 11. 2 Corinthians chapter 11. 2 Corinthians 11. Look at verse 23. "Are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool. I am more, in labors more abundant, in stripes above measure, in prisons more frequent, in deaths often. Of the Jews 5 times received I 40 stripes, save one. Thrice was I beaten with rods. Once was I stoned. Thrice I suffered shipwreck. A night and a day I've been in the deep. In journeyings often, in perils of water, in perils of robbers, in perils of my own countrymen, in perils of the heathen, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren, in weariness and painfulness, in watching, often in hunger and thirst, in fasting, often in cold and nakedness, besides those things that are without, that which cometh upon me daily, the care of all the churches. Now, Paul had some physical things he had to deal with, such as hunger and thirst and cold and so forth. But I want you to know a lot of the things I've read to you was violence against him. People who were trying to destroy him. People who were trying to kill him. Paul says, it's not going to hinder me. I'm not going to just blame those. He says, it's really Satan that's trying to hinder me. Now listen to me. Some who think they're so super spiritual would have deducted that God wasn't in their ministry any longer and resigned. They'd have quit. They'd have given up. Paul said it really wasn't the people throwing the stones, it was Satan behind the people that was trying to hinder me. He was hindered by violence against him, but he wasn't defeated. Turn over to Acts. Chapter 14. Acts chapter 14. I shall begin to read in verse number 19. There came thither certain Jews from Antioch and Iconium who persuaded the people, and having stoned Paul, drew him out of the city, supposing that he had been dead. Howbeit, as the disciples stood around about him, he rose up and came into the city the next day, and he departed with Barnabas to Derbe. Now, he was stoned. I don't mean he was stoned by drugs or stoned by booze. They picked up rocks, and they threw them against his body and his face and his head until he fell down, they thought, dead. And they drug him outside the city and threw him over beside the road like a dead dog. Paul, that's violent. I've had people get angry at me, but I've never had them stone me. And Paul said, man, people were violent against me. Paul said, I know it really wasn't the people. It was Satan behind the people trying to hinder me. When we start laying the blame to individual people, then it affects our spirituality. It affects our walk with God. It affects the ability to pray and get prayers answered. It hinders us from walking in the Spirit, because when we start blaming and accusing others and hating others, we're in the flesh, not the Spirit. The Apostle Paul said, though I've been hindered with violence against me, I know who's behind it. It's the devil. It's old Satan. And he would not quit. He got up, went back into the city, went on to the next city, and continued his work for the Lord Jesus Christ. Thirdly, he was hindered by physical suffering, but he was not defeated. Hindered by physical suffering. Turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 12. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, we'll begin to read in verse number 5. Of such an one will I glory, Yet of myself I will not glory, but in mine infirmities. Notice that statement, infirmities. For though I would desire to glory, I shall not be a fool, for I will say the truth. And let's read on down. Look at verse number 9. And he said unto me, by my grace is sufficient for thee. Paul had prayed 3 different times for God to remove the thorn in his flesh. But God said, no, I won't remove it, but I'll give you grace that you might be able to bear it. And in verse number 9, he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, would I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. So there the word is weakness and infirmity, infirmities once again. Notice it didn't say I have an infirmity. It was plural. He had a lot of things wrong with him. Multiple things wrong with him. He was hindered by physical suffering. Look at verse number 10. Therefore I take pleasure in infirmities, sicknesses, problems, hindering him. Though he was hindered by physical suffering, he didn't allow that physical suffering to become the item that would defeat him. I wonder how many times Paul stayed home because his back hurt. I wonder how many times he stayed home with a headache or his feet hurt. You go through here and you don't find Paul complaining. He glories in his infirmities because he knows that in his weakness he was made strong by the power of God, and God could get more glory. And then fourthly, he was hindered by physical handicaps, but he was not defeated by those physical handicaps. You read the Bible, and you'll find out as you study his life, he had trouble with his eyes. He had a bad eyesight, and he could hardly write. And when he did write, he had to write in large print. He dictated all of his epistles except Galatians. And in Galatians, he said, see how large a letter I've written to you, although Galatians only 6 chapters long. His large because his eyesight was poor, hindered by his eyesight, yet 14 epistles in the New Testament are from him. He had a thorn in the flesh. Many believe that it was a physical sickness of some kind, or multiple sicknesses. It was so bad that he prayed for God to remove it, and God said he wouldn't, but he'd give him grace that he might be able to bear it. Physical infirmities, but he traveled the known world, and it was said of him and his team that he's turned the world upside down. Carried the gospel to the known world of his days, and yet he was hindered by physical handicaps. He didn't have a hover around. Dad didn't have a battery-operated cart. He walked, went by cart, rode a mule, camel, whatever the means of transportation was. Physical handicaps, but he kept on going. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 6, the Bible tells us he was rude of speech. He was not a gifted orator. Let me put it a different way. He was not a silver-tongued orator. He had it up here, but his speech was kind of grating, kind of like scratching on a blackboard. He was rude and crude of speech. 2 Corinthians 10:10 says his body was weak and his speech was contemptible. But he just kept on going. Physical handicaps. But he didn't use them as an excuse, and he didn't allow them to defeat him. It's believed that Paul was a very short person. A legend that was popular in that day was that he was 3 cubits high, but he touched the sky. 3 cubits is 4'6". I don't know if that means Paul was 4'6" or not, but the things written about him says he was a very short man. Had physical handicaps, but he was not defeated by them. We glory in our infirmities because we use them to stay home. We use them to excuse us from serving God. And I don't care what's wrong with you. There's something you can do in the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ. It may not be the public platform ministry, but there's something you can do that's powerful and important and life-changing to people and to you if you'd be willing to let God use you. I've got one more thought and I'll be through. He was hindered by those he loved, but he never allowed it to defeat him. He was hindered by those he loved. You read the story of the Apostle Paul's life. He loved his people, and they hated him. He'd try to win them to Christ, and they'd create turmoil against him. They'd stone him. They'd mock him. But everywhere he went, the first people he'd go to was his own people. He never called them low-down, sorry reprobates. Instead, he said, if I could be accursed in order that they might be saved, I'd be willing to do it. He was saying, if I could go to hell and they could get saved, I'd be willing to do it. He loved them. But his greatest hindrance and his greatest heartache came from people he loved. This church would be full and running over tonight if those hindered by people who loved them hadn't got upset and quit and had been here tonight. There would not be room enough to hold the people. Trinity Baptist Church wouldn't be running 1,200, 1,300. We'd be running 3,000 and 4,000 and 5,000 and 6,000. Because we allow people that love us or we love hurt us. And we blame people and blame the church and blame the preacher when all the time it was Satan. Satan trying to hinder. Satan trying to do just exactly what has happened to get you to quit, to give up, and drop out. One of the great men in the Bible is known as Barnabas. You read the life of Barnabas and his relationship with the Apostle Paul. When Saul got saved, it was Barnabas who first went to get him and brought him to Jerusalem. It was Barnabas that encouraged him. It was Barnabas that became a friend and an encourager. And I have no doubt that Saul and Barnabas were like this. It was Barnabas that took Saul to Antioch, where they began to minister there in Antioch. Now, Barnabas was a good man, and he loved Paul, and Paul loved him. God separated two men from the church and sent them out as missionaries, Paul and Barnabas. They took John Mark with them. John Mark was the nephew of Barnabas. And something happened early in the trip and John Mark quit, went back home. Saul and Barnabas finished that first missionary journey. They were so excited about coming home with a testimony of all the Gentiles that got saved. And when they got saved, the ones that loved them in Jerusalem began to question whether or not Gentiles could really get saved by grace through faith. The ones he loved. Then they got ready to go back on their second missionary journey, and Barnabas said, I'm going to take John Mark with us. And Paul said, no, we're not taking a quitter. And two people that loved each other had a disagreement so great that they divided. They went two different directions. Now, I've studied the Scripture, and I can't find in Scripture after they leave, after they separate, where Barnabas is ever mentioned again. Paul's mentioned again and again and again. Someone he loved. They had a disagreement. Paul said, it's really not Barnabas, it's just the old devil. So he went on, knowing that it was Satan that was hindering. Now I wonder if Barnabas blamed Paul. I wonder if Barnabas got hurt and angry over that and blamed Paul. And I don't know what happened to him after that. He's not recorded again in Scripture. But Paul is. Because though he was hindered by someone he loved, he didn't blame that someone. He blamed the one that really was the instigator, the old devil. And he went on and did the work of God. Fact, Paul's greatest work took place after that. After he and Barnabas separated. 1 and 2 Thessalonians, 1 and 2 Corinthians, Galatians, Romans, Philemon, Colossians, Ephesians, Philippians, 1 and 2 Timothy, Titus, and Hebrew were all written after Paul and Barnabas separated. What did Barnabas do? I'm saying to you, dear friends, tonight, it's not the problems that hinder us. It's who we blame for the problems that results in our continuing to be used or not used by God. Well, I'm just not going back to that church anymore. So and so did this. Well, I have no doubt that there's going to be a lot more so-and-sos doing things that some of us are not going to be pleased with. But am I going to quit? I love these people. I love you. You don't always please me. Sometimes if God would let me and bend you over, I'd help him. But I can't. I can't have that spirit. Because I know there's somebody behind it that's really not you. So why don't we get upset at the right person? Why don't we blame the devil? Instead of letting him run us out of church, why don't we blame him and let it drive us closer together and to greater faithfulness? Paul said, I tried to come to you on many occasions, but Satan hindered us. Satan hindered us. Satan hindered him with financial difficulties, with personal violence, with physical suffering and physical handicaps and hindrance by people he loved. But he didn't say it's their fault. He said it's Satan's fault. And he went on and was blessed and used of God. And we're still being blessed by this man who would not allow Satan to hinder him and would not blame everybody else for what Satan was trying to do. You do know that Satan's not your friend. Sometimes the only way he can get through you is through something else or somebody else. Instead of magnifying their weakness, why don't you just skip by it and blame the one that's the real problem, the old devil. And love them and encourage them and pray for them. You say, well, Paul didn't have a forgiving spirit. Yes, he did. Because John Mark that quit, Paul forgave him when he got right and said, send John Mark to me. He's profitable now for the gospel's sake. Father, that's our message tonight. God, I could go down the list over 23 years here at Trinity and list the names of people that Satan hindered them, and instead of blaming themselves or instead of blaming Satan, they blamed everybody else and everything else. And tonight, their life is not usable. They're not blessed. They're miserable. They're outside of your will. They don't know the joy of seeing people saved and reclaimed and grow. They'll never know what it is to have a preacher boy call him on a Sunday afternoon and share with him their record day. Or to have a preacher boy call getting ready for their first anniversary and ask questions about the service. What do I need to do? And all the time my heart's just bubbling because of God's blessings on them. People will never know that when they allow Satan to hinder and blame other people in the church for it instead of the one causing the problem. Help us to grow bigger than that. Help our insight to be greater than that. Help us to have an understanding that Satan is our enemy. And he'll use anything and everything to hinder us from living and glorifying our God and our Savior, Jesus Christ.